We'll start with a pasuk in Parshas Emor. In Parshas Emor, we have the Parshas Mo'adis, which discusses the all the Yomim Tov. Now, it's rather strange. Rashi already noted this, that Parshas Mo'adis begins Dabar Abba Yisrael Miyamar Toh Aleyhem Mo Yadei Hashem Ashi Tikro Samo Mikro Yikodesh Ayidahim Mo Yadoi. It is the Parshas Mo'adis. It will end at the very end Vayidabar Moishas Mo Yadei Hashem Abba Yisrael. So now that we begin Parshas Mo'adis, so far, so okay, there are five more, right? We have Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. That's it. That's five. So before we get to any of those five, the Torah begins. Sheish is Yom Teyosem Alocha. Avayom Hashi Shabbat Shabbos and Mikra Kodesh Kom Alocha Leisasu Shabbos Yil Hashem Bechom Mosh Vaseicha. So why, if this is Parshas Mo'adis, do we start with the discussion of Shabbos? Rashi comments upon it in Be'onyi. I've never understood Rashi. I'm not the only one. Others have told me they don't understand Rashi either. And I hope one day yet I'll be Zoicha to understand Rashi's terms. But not I am. I'm not Zoicha. I don't understand Rashi. So we'll leave that over for now. There's a very famous pshat from the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says this pasuk is not talking about Shabbos. It is talking about the Mayadim. And it's an introduction to the Mo'adim. And it describes what's going to come. It's a very good introductory sentence because it gives us an overarching view of everything that's going to come until you're through in all the five Yom Tovim and Deraisa. And it tells us the following. If you want to know what the scope of the Yom Tovim and Atayr is, very simple. Sheish is Yomim Teyosim Melocha. 6 days you will do Melocha. Which Melocha? Not the Melocha of building a house. Not the Melocha of planting. Of which malocha? Malecha soichel nefesh. Sheish is yomim teyosim malocha. And therefore the pasuk continues about yom hashvi, and there's a seventh day. Shabbat Shabbos in Mikra Kodesh. And there already it's kol malocha lo sasu. There you're not going to do any malocha. That Shabbat Yil Hashem is a total cessation of malocha. The kol mosh vaseich. And the Goyin says, how many days yontif adim in Atayra? Seven. Simple cheshma. 2 days Pesach, the first day and the seventh day. 1 day Shavuos is three. 2 days Sukkot, the first and the eighth is five. 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur. There's 7 days Yom Tov Minatayra. So the Goyim says, this is exactly what the Torah does. Sheish is Yom Tov Malocha. 6 of those 7 days, all the days other than Yom Kippur, you're allowed to do Malocha. Which Malocha? Malecha Sochel Nefesh. That's Achach Sheyei Ochel Lechol Nefesh. When it comes to Yom HaKippur, there the Torah specifically says, B'chol malocha lo yisasu. There's already shenois the malocha, an exception. The acha sheyei ocha l'chol nefesh, that's in Yom Tov. But in Yom Kippur, it's b'chol malocha lo yisasu. And that's in the introduction. U'vayom ha'shi shavah shavos and mikra kodesh, kol malocha lo yisasu. Shabbat yil Hashem b'chol mosh vaseicha. And it's interesting, there's a certain, it's a little bit b'mashmar at the pite that also held like the Vilna Gaon. Because we know that we make references to Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Shabbos. And this is the reference in the Torah. And the Goyim tells us that this pasuk is talking about Yom Kippur. It's not talking about Shabbos. So the Goyim says that the introduction to this parasha tells us that in the Chagim there are two forms of Kiyum. There's a Kiyum which has a Heter Oichol Nefesh and a Kiyum without a Heter Oichol Nefesh. Shabbos, of course, does not have a Heter Oichol Nefesh. Shabbos and Yom Kippur are the same in that regard. Now why is it, we have to ask ourselves very simply, well, Yom Kippur is not a kasha. Yom Kippur is a different type of day altogether. Yom Kippur is not a yontif in the sense that we think of a yontif. There's no sudas yontif, we don't make kiddush. See, Yom Kippur is a different mitzvah. That's the Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter gave us in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, the Moshe Rabbeinu was Zoicha, on that day, to be Mekadosh that day is Yom Slicha V'Kapora, so that remained the Doros Yom Slicha V'Kapora. Good. So it has Shvisim and Malocha. In certain regards, it's Mikra Kodesh, but it's a different type of Yom Tov. Okay, fine. But why is it, Sof Kol Sof, that we have two forms of Kiyum? Two forms. Shabbos, there's no Malacha, and Yom Tov, there's Hekdom, and what's Hekdom? We could well understand on Shabbos should be a Hekdom, Eichel Nefesh, on Yom Tov, there shouldn't be. Listen, we Jews live quite well. We manage Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, without a problem, without Malacha. So, Mekhenesh Mach and Yom Tov, without Malacha. It's in 2 days, listen, the Malabus doesn't give us a Chayitza. How do I survive 2 days without the Malacha? Not a problem. If that's what the Revolution wanted to do, we would do it. So, well, why is it that we have two different forms? A Shabbos dikah form and a Yom Tov dikah form. Mechatesi. There are times that, and that's very beautiful, when we achieve that level of insight, when the hashkofa of the Torah to a particular halacha resonates so clearly that we see the format of the halacha is the direct continuum of the Torah's hashkofa. And a very beautiful insight, Rameh Simcha tells us, and it's based on a Rambam. I noted it in my Sefer, because the Rambam is a Mer Nevuchim, it's not well known, and Rameh Simcha did not, as we know, Rameh Simcha did not write Mar Mekoymus to the Meshech Chochma. For him, Kol HaTorah Kula is like, listen, what's the problem? It's like if I quote a pasuk from Ashrei, I have to tell anyone where it is. So for Rameh Simcha, Kol HaTorah Kula was not much different than Ashrei. So there was no need to record Mar Mekoymus. You sit down and think about it. There's a Sefer Rambam. It's all Ashrei. So in the years since it was published, for years and tens of years, the Talmidei Chacham are trying to put in as many Mar Mekoymus as we can to Rameh Simcha. And we can't catch up with him. I mean, with all but tons of Talmidei Chachamim and decades going by, we still can't catch up with his vast bekiyus. So no one that wrote on the Meshech Chochma noted where this idea came from. And at times when I was working in the Nyan Avantav, I asked some of the biggest Bekiyim, and some of them were familiar with the Meshech Chochma, but the idea itself, that it should have any basis, they knew no basis for it. And Baruch Hashem, I finally found it comes from Amar Nevucha. Rameh Simcha tells us the following, that Shabbos is distinct from Yom Tov. Both of them unify Klal Yisrael, but they unify Klal Yisrael in different ways. Shabbos unifies Klal Yisrael because we have one religious observance. But each one of us conducts our religious observance on our own Dalet Amos. There's an Isur Hatzah on Shabbos. There's an Isur to cook on Shabbos, which basically limits social mobility. If I want you to come to my house and I don't have a piece of meat, I don't have a challah from you, I can't bring it from someplace else. If I didn't cook it yesterday, I can't say, come, whatever, we'll put up another steak for you, another piece of chicken, and that's it, in a half an hour, you'll eat with me. Can't do that, Shabbos. So Shabbos were limited. Each one is in our own Dalet Amos, but what unifies us is we have a common observance. We all serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with the same avodah. Yom Tov, we're unified in a different fashion. It's not only that we have a similar avodah, but the social interaction of Yom Tov. I invite you to eat the meal with me, and it's the halachas lend themselves in that direction. Haitzah, you have a baby, you can bring the baby, it's not a problem. You have a bottle of soda, you can bring it. We're short, we'll cook a little bit more. The whole structure of Hilchos Yom Tov lends itself to the social interactivity. And it's a Rambam, I think, if I recall correctly, in Chelek Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel, but I noted in my Sefer where it is. I think it's Chelek Gimel in the Meira, Perek Lamed Gimel. That's what the Rambam says. Yom Tov is to unify us by the social interaction which takes place between us. So this is Rameh Simcha's insight. So it comes, we understand full well from that Yom Tov is a different set, its goal is ultimately the service of the Rabbi Hashem, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, but in a different pattern, in a different way. And therefore it has a different set of halachas. Halachas which lend themselves to that which the Rabbi Hashem wanted to achieve. And that's what we find, the Gemara says in Chagiga. We have a phrase that we use in davening, but we don't often exactly know what it means. In the Rosh Chodesh Bensing, we say, Chaverim kol Yisrael v'nai maromri. Mazo imer Chaverim. So in Chaverim, in one sense, in the simple sense, we understand Chaverim that we use in the Birchas HaChodesh, in the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, that it means that, listen, we are scattered by our countries of Eretz. So how is it? I mean, that's the wonder. How do we have Eretz Yisrael? We bring a Jew that comes, Asfadish, a Jew, an Ashkenazic Jew. and with this minig and that minig, and this one spoke Romanian, and this one speaks Arabic, and this one speaks French, and this one speaks Spanish, and ever some of Machta Medina. How could it be? It's a pella. So we said Mishlosanis and Lavasena Golosan, we write two Yalosan Bakoro, we have it in the Khinom Yarbakan Vice Aurits. And somehow it's going to be Chaverim Kol Yisrael, despite the fact that we are polyglots spread over the face of the earth. But we're going to come back together, and we're saying Chaverim Kol Yisrael. We'll be one unified nation. That's a simple pshat in what we say in the Davar. In the Gemara in Chagiga, the Gemara Nida discusses that there's another notion. The last parak in Chagiga discusses the fact that there are 10 levels of chumras in Chaimer B'Kodesh of various levels of Tuman Taira, which were enacted, special chumras, chumras with the Rabbanah. And when it came to, now a chover has a particular mashmos, the yekis use it in that fashion. A chover means a learned person, a person that went up to yeshiva, it was 4 years or something in yeshiva, it's called a chover, not exactly, not a rov, but it's what we would call a bentura today, so that is by the yekis, they're called a chover, by the German community. In the Shas we find that a chover is a person that was nizer in certain halachas. He's nizer in Tumas and Tyrus, it's called a chover. He's nizer in Tumah v'Tyra. A chover means a certain level of meticulous observance. Now because of that, there are restrictions placed on the unlearned and when they can come to the Beis HaMikdash and where they can go, because we're afraid they're going to be metame at the Mikdash. Because a fellow that's not, he doesn't know the halachas, he's not particularly careful in his life not to become tummy, and then he's going to go wander into the Beis HaMikdash with this tumah, and it's a chomor, it's an aver chomor. In Yontif came, is a halacha of Chaverim Kol Yisrael. All the chumras with the Rabbanon were put on hiatus. Everyone was allowed in. Why? Because for the sake there should be a unity in Klal Yisrael. Everyone, listen, we all have a chalik in the Mikdash. It comes out of the regal, that's it, this guy, we don't look, you're a Talmud Chochem, you're a Manam Oret, you're this, you're that. Yayid, the Mikdash, in you go. Everyone's welcome to the Mikdash. And the Yontif, what do they have to do because of that? The Mishnah at the end of Chagiga tells us that, our mikvah, and they tabled everything because they figured, listen, somewhere, and all the hundreds of thousands of people that poured through, it was Mustafa, one guy that didn't act the right way. But Lamaisa and Hilfos Yontif, we allowed this Chaverim. That's Pshat Chaverim. In the initial sense that Chazal used it, of a Chover, means everyone's considered a Chover, that he's meticulous in his observance. No one's excluded. And everyone was allowed into the Migdash. If he said he's Tor, the door is open, in you go. You're allowed to enter the Migdash for the Halil Regal. So we strove mightily in Chazal to use Yontif as a unifying force in Klal Yisrael. A unified Klal Yisrael also in the sense. We find at the end of Sefer Yeshua that they were concerned. They heard that the Shvatim and Eber HaYarden, or the Shvatim were building their own Mishkan. So they raised an army and they were about to go to battle with them to put down. This was viewed as a rebellion. What are you making your own Mishkan for? So obviously this is a secessionist movement, and you're not going to recognize the regular Mishkan. You're a Medina for yourself, and you have your own house of worship, and that's it. So what are you doing? This is a secessionist movement. So the central government raises an army, and you go to put down the secessionists. What happened in the Civil War in the United States? So before they struck, they decided, Yeshua and the leadership of Klal Yisrael, that before we launch, go on the offensive, let's send some diplomats and let's find out exactly what's going on here before we launch the offensive. So they go. And what does it tell us? So they tell them the following. Our concern is not to the country. We have no interest in seceding. And we have no interest in setting up a separate religion. And they even showed them, according to the Malbim, that the way it was constructed was not suitable for actual avodah. It was merely a reminder of the Mishkan that existed in Eretz Yisrael itself. Something is to focus them, that they should remember the Mishkan. And they told them very simply, what's our concern? If you live near the Mishkan, so you'll come to the Mishkan and you bring karbonos, what is the Yid that lives far away going to do? I can't jump out neighbor Ayarden and hop down to Mishkan Shiloh, you know, in half an hour, bring a karbon and go home. I also want to participate, but I can't. So we're afraid if we're not going to make some memento of some replica of the Mishkan and some even a raw format, we're going to forget that that's what we're about. We'll become isolated from Klal Yisrael. So we made a Mishkan for that reason, a pseudo-Mishkan. No intention, it was not Roy to do Avodah. We didn't build it that way, just that we should remember that our place is in the Mishkan, in Mishkan Shiloh. Noiv and Yidden, etc., and all the places where the Mishkan was going to, that's where our places. Klal Yisrael was dispersed. We have 12 Shvatim all over Eretz Yisrael. It's, what do we have? We have, in our country, the genius of the federalist system is that we have states, and states have rights. But we, now what unifies the country? Why does a New Yorker feel any kesher with the guy in California or the guy in Illinois? What's up with Tzitan? I don't pay the taxes that he does. I have a different governor, a different mayor. But why? So the genius of the federalist system is because there's a federal government that has responsibility for all of us in many regards. And that's more significant than all the state governments. So that's what gives the country a tzura. There's a president that wields powers and he makes a decision that affects all 50 states. So the problem that you have when you have provinces, and we had also provinces, 12 provinces, is how you unify the country. What's the sense of unification? So part of the sense of unification was the Kem Yontif, the Aliyah, the Regal, that we all have one house of worship. There's one central worship, and that's where we come. And who was the most significant player in the house of worship besides the Kohanim was Malchus Beis David. And Yeshiva Ba'azara, only for Malchus Beis David. They were the only ones that were allowed to sit in the Azara. No one else. The Melech had a special role, because it helped, in fact, the Aliyah L'Regel to solidify the unity of Klal Yisrael. So it was not only in the halachas lent himself to neighborliness, that in that extent there should be achdus, and in the larger Aliyah L'Regel and the focus on the Mikdash was one of the unifying factors which cemented 12 provinces, in effect, 12 shvatim, into one nation, into one federal regime. So this is the tachlis of Yontif. Yontif is to bind us together. Yontif, we have the special halachas on Yontif, as you know, for tzedakah. Besides the general din of tzedakah, there's a mitzvah. The Torah specifically spells it out. There's a machta, right? And it spells out the amona, the ger, the levi, etc. All the impoverished and the underprivileged. Why? Because our statement on Yontif is, and the Rambam is very vociferous about it in the Yad, that there can be no Simchas Yontif for me if I didn't provide Simchas Yontif for someone else that doesn't have. And the Rambam writes in such a caustic statement that if I lack myself in my own courtyard and I celebrate Yontif and I don't allow the Aniyim in, or I don't provide for the Aniyim, then he says this is not a celebration of the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is a celebration of one's stomach. It's a material indulgent exercise. Why? Because if it was truly the Shem Shemayim to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, then how could I look away from the Rabbeinu Shalom's children? If I mean to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Rabbeinu Shalom says care for his children, how could I not share the Rabbeinu Shalom's Abba for his children? So the Rambam says that it means that it's an indulgent materialistic exercise. Only if it's koilul the aniyim, includes the Aniyim. And that's when it's a special mitzvah before the Chagim are giving tzedakah, a special mitzvah besides the regular mitzvah tzedakah. Now, I want to look a little at the halachas of Yontif too. Now, the halachas of Yontif suffer the fates of really two bodies of halacha, suffer the same fate. There's two types of halachas that we can conceptually deal with. And we sort out and make some sense out of. Either everything's mutter, you know, weekdays, no Yisra Malach, or Shabbos, everything's also, to one of the largest extent, except whatever, and then basically, all the Malach is also, and whatever, little by little, we learn what's mutter on Shabbos. Two bodies of the halacha live in limbo. Why? Because they're an unusual mix of Osir and mutter. And by that I mean Hilchos Chol HaMoed and Hilchos Yontif. Both of them are a fog. If you ask people, we are a few klolim, we know. But after that, that's where it ends. To get into the real nitty gritty of exactly what's mutter and what's aser, that's lost. That's lost. You come to the very beginning of Hilchos Yontif. The very beginning. And top tzaddikay sif beis, the second sif in Hilchos Yontif. So I don't know why it's a shahoy kachoy. Don't want to read the shulchan aruch inside. Fellow I know goes to a hotel, a charedish hotel, someplace in the face of the earth. We don't have to say where it was. and they serve fresh pressed orange juice on Yom Tov. So he calls over the Bashkiach. Oh, and he says to the Bashkiach, "Hi, Mai, what's the pshat?" He says, "What do you mean? What's your problem?" "Eichel nefesh. Eichel nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov." So he tells him, "Well, Eichel nefesh is mutter, but schit is not mutter on Yom Tov." He says, "No, the meaning of this town, city, is supposed to be muttered." So he says, "Listen, I don't want to argue with you. So you have the Yom Tov, you go where's the Rav? The Rav Machsher, and see what he has to say." He came back the next Yom Tov, the next to the Rav, back to the same hotel. So now he's fresh pressed oranges. It disappeared. In Siv Beis, Tov Tzadikei Siv Beis. Here we have a list of things which all deal with Ochel Nefesh. Katsira, harvesting. Right? I want to pluck an apple off the tree. Tchino, I want to grind. Take wheat and grind it into flour. Bitsira, the harvesting of grapes. Schita, and squeezing juice. Fruits and vegetables. Vitzedo, capturing animals. Before Shem Mishnah, ain't Sodom. Right? First Mishnah, the third prayer conveyor. Yeah, the Machaber bites the bullet. He tells us, so the Chayr should have been mutter on the basis of the Pasuk Achashay Yochel Lechon Nefesh. So he says, Osrum Chachomim. They're Osrum in the Rabbanim. So we're going to see that that's one particular view. There's a second Shita held by many Rishonim that these Melachos are indeed Osrum in the Torah. They're not Osrum even in the Rabbanim. Osrum they are. Now what's the reason for this? Let's take a look at the Chofetz Chaim. And he says specifically that Shechita we're talking about is obviously even if the intention is to use the juice on Yom Tov. So why is it Osrum? Osrum Chacham, the Min HaTorah Kol Melachos Shu Ochel Nefesh Mutar. The Shechita of Shulchan Aruch is that anything which touches Ochel Nefesh is Mutar Min HaTorah. In other words, any Melacha which is principally oriented to Ochel Nefesh is Mutar Min HaTorah. But those malachas which people usually do on a wholesale basis, not just a handful at a time, such as these. A person harvests his field, he doesn't harvest one orange today, one orange tomorrow. It's harvest time, you get out and you harvest. There's the Mishnayos, in fact, spells out here the Vitziris is normally it's Keachot, and one shot you do it. Vilidrach Kolanov of Keachot, and you press the grapes all in one time. Vilid Konhari of Hamachas, so when you finally get to grinding the wheat, you don't just grind the 2 pounds, you grind bushels and bushels and bushels, that ain't sheer. Vimken Yitorid Kolayim Bavidosa, so then he'll become preoccupied a whole day with working. And he won't be Mekayim Simchas Yontov. And therefore Chazal prohibited. That's the Shita. I mentioned Melachos which are principally oriented towards Ochel Nefesh. Those are certainly called Ochel Nefesh Melachos. There are those that suggest that even any Melachos which is immediately has immediate use for Ochel Nefesh is also considered a Melachos which is Mutu because of Ochel Nefesh, even though it's not in and of itself defined as an Ochel Nefesh Melachos. Now, Rafidu Aydei Shinoi also. And those that, you know, even also, even if I do it in an unusual fashion, certain times in Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Yom Tov is relatively more makel in that regard than Shabbos, that certain things we allow Aydei Shinoi through an unusual process. But these malachos are also even in that fashion. V'nicho b'teiron, they allow to remain mutter, agdorim, shemestom, ahin, drak, tzorach, achilas Yom Tov. Those things, the types of malachos, like cooking, etc., which are done little by little, which are understood to be on a daily basis, those types of malachos they allowed us to do. Then he goes on to tell us the Chofetz Chaim, v'harbei poiskim and many poiskim cholkim b'servim the melechas avoyda haniskaleil is osim in atara. These melechas are osim in atara filo b'ochon nefesh. But we tira atara b'ochon nefesh alo mashaderech lasas liyom. In other words, the hagdor is the same in the regard. That in other words, those types of melechas are typically done bit by bit by bit. Those are the ones that shemutter on yontif. And those which are done wholesale, those are also on Yom Tov. And one of the ways that we define that is one of the from the Sanam Kinnon, I believe, tells us that that's the definition that we know. One Shita, probably the most well-known Shita in Melechas Yom Tov, is Milisha Ve'elech. In other words, in the Melechas HaPas is Milisha Ve'elech. Because those malachas we tend to do little by little. Tchina on harkada, etc., zoreya, koitzer, harisha, that we don't do little by little. That's a major wholesale process. When we finally get up that we have the flour and I want to use the flour, so you don't bake 3 months of bread in one shot. It's not going to do you much good. You're going to wind up with a lot of stale and moldy bread. So then you bake a bread. Tomorrow you make weiter. That's it. That's the way. You go to the bakeries open every day with fresh bread. It doesn't even sell bread from 2 days ago. It's understood. This is all halacha. Listen, if you want to have something decent, you bake it today. You bake it this morning, you eat it today. Tomorrow is right. The same thing. So according to them, this is the Hagdorah. It's a Torah Dika Hagdorah, the difference. It's not a Midrabbanan Dika Hagdorah, but it's a Deraisa Dika Hagdorah. So this tells us that Ochel Nefesh is Mutter, yes. But not all Ochel Nefesh. I mean, one of the major problems is right away you start the Masechta. And the Masechta tells you that the first sugi in Bay is Bay Shinolda Biyantif, and he tells us in Daf Gimel that one of the reasons that it's Osir is because Mashkin Shazov, that because it's similar to juice which flowed out on its own. And Mashkin Shazov was also because of Schita. So here we have Mufurish that Schita is Osir, yet Malachas Ochel Nefesh is Mutter. And then we come to the third parak and we have Ein Sodden. Tells us, I can't, I want to go, listen, I like fish. So I like fresh fish. So Yontif in the morning, listen, what do you want from me? I'll take my fishing rod, and I'll sit down Nochon Davin by the river, and when I catch a fish, I'll go home, and I'll put it in the rod, I'll fry it. That's it, I'll eat it on the spot. I'm not intending to do it for tomorrow. I want a fresh fish from today. So what's built? Why can't I do it? Ain't sudden. I'm just looking for rashes. So that forces us to come to some consideration that there's malachos which are mutter and malachos that are awesome. Whatever you shall me, whatever, it's a very long and complex sugya. But that's where this all comes from. So the first thing is, not all Ochel Nefesh is mutter. That's the first klal that we have to know. Now, I've spoken many other times. Everyone knows that what are the two special features of Yontif particularly? The two special features of Yontif is that Havara, the use of fire, is mutter. And that Haitzah is mutter. So Haitzah is the one that we're most familiar with in the broadest sense. You know, fire we know, we light the lich, we light the stove, etc. Oh, fine, but that doesn't have, that has rather limited uses. Haitzah is the one which really touches, changes the complexion, the whole public complexion of the day. You carry sforim with you, you carry them there, you carry them back, you carry the talus, etc. Even if you live in a place that doesn't have an air all year. Yontif, carte blanche. So, the problem is that Haitzah is not mutter in all cases. As much as Haitzah is mutter on Yontif, and it is, but it's not always mutter. We have to start off with the fact that the Torah itself writes, Achashayeh Yochel L'chol Nefesh, Shul Vado Yeyaseh L'chol. So the head of Malach is rooted in Ochel Nefesh. So if it's rooted in Ochel Nefesh, so why can I carry my talus to Shul? Make it easy. The Torah said, Ochel Nefesh, I don't eat my talus. And if you lose a bet, you might eat your hat, but not your talus. So what's the pshat? So we have a Mishnah in Be'edaf Yud Be'ez, a famous, a well-known machlekes, B'Shamayim B'Silo, that B'Shamayim in fact holds that Haitzah, it's only mutter for Ochel Nefesh. You want to bring a bottle of schnapps to your neighbor to drink on Yontif, that's mutter. You want to carry a safe in the shul, that's awesome. You want to carry a child in the street, it's awesome. Carry a knife for a meal, it's awesome. It's not Ochel Nefesh. And B'Silo allows all of these things. So the Gemara articulates a principle that's called Mitoch. It's all the Torah. Hutra namish alay the Torah. Now, the Shas, we see in some regards how far we are from the perspective of Chazal. In no place in the entire Shas does it define for us what the basis of this principle of Mitoch is. That since it's Mutter the Torah Chochel Nefesh, we'll give Tosis definition, it's Mutter Shalay the Torah Chochel Nefesh. Where did it come from? The Torah only said, Ochel Nefesh. And Shas does not bother any ways to explain what the mechanics of this principle, how it works, what it's based upon. So obviously, from Chachmei HaShas, it was axiomatic. It was, that's it. Once they said this line, everything was self-understood. And we come to the Rishonim already, and the Rishonim are struggling, and the Achronim are struggling, but the Pshat and Bitoich. So that Lomdis, we're not here tonight for Lomdis. You know, we come for Ashiya and Lomdis, I have Ashiya and Lomdis, we have what to say about Bitoich, but tonight's not for Ashiya and Lomdis. But we still have a principle, we talk Shehutra at Sol Litzarech, or Shehutra Nami Shaloy Litzarech. But as Tosis explains, it means Shaloy Litzarech Ochol Nefesh. It's not direct in Yidr for Ochol Nefesh, but there is a Tzarech Yontif. Suppose I want to carry something, it's Yontif today, and tomorrow I need a Gemara for the Daf Yomi. So it's convenient, I'm coming from the right place where I have a Gemara, so I'll bring the Gemara to Shul today. It's awesome. It has to be, it's the Tzarech Yontif. This is the Tzarech Mocha, it's not the Tzarech Yontif, it's not Mutter. In Chazal, in Esau, in the Ramosim of the Torah Shabbal Peh, it's the Messiah of the Torah Shabbal Peh, but the Ramosim in the Mikro, they parsed this pasuk, each word spoke volumes to them. Hu levado ye yoseh, that should be enough. What's lachem? So Chazal tell us, lachem means one group as distinct from another group. So who are the groups? So Chazal had two possibilities. And the Shulchan Aruch, sometime I believe, hold both. And the Shulchan Aruch, in fact, paskins both. One group is, lochem means for human use. You as the group of human beings. Veloyla klob, and not for animal use. So if my dog likes to eat steak, I can't cook a steak, or I can't cook his dog food on Yontif. Now, he's supposed to pour hot water from a clear rishon directly onto his dog food to make it edible for him. I'm not allowed to do that either. That's bishul. Bishul l'tzarech kelev, l'tzarech any animal is osur yontif. Because I'll offer another definition of lachem. And that's lachem b'loy l'akam. For Jewish needs and not for non-Jewish needs. I mean, not do melacha for a non-Jew. So, if I got the New York Times delivered on yontif, and my next door neighbor didn't get his, and he wants to read about what the Yankees did last night, and after I finished reading it, he asked me to bring it to him. Say, if I have an Erev, if I don't have an Erev, I better ask him to come pick it up yourself, because I'm not allowed to bring it to his house. I can't do malacha for a goy. A goy comes to my house, he could be, it's a business associate, a friend, etc. And I'm not allowed to cook a cup of coffee for him. Cook the water to give him a cup of coffee. It's a tzarech akam. To such an extent, the Gemara in Beya tells us, there's halacha vein mazminim akam. That Chazal said we should not accept if Yontif is on Shabbos. We'll see why in a moment. But on a regular Yontif day, on a weekday, we're not supposed to invite a non-Jew to participate in the meal with us. Hired help are different because they're not our guests, so we don't have social responsibility for them. But I may not invite a non-Jew to participate, even whatever reason I may have, to participate in the Yontif Suda. Why? Because basically, I wound up and placed, I'm given the devil's choice, and I can't win. Everyone, this guy wants an egg, this guy wants a steak, this guy wants a cup of coffee, we cook it for him. Now the Irish guest comes and he wants something, we tell him, sorry, not for you. So what either way. So if we live up to the halacha, so we create enmity with the non-Jew, then we don't treat him like a mensch. Elamai, so what's the alternative? I'm Oisik and Darka Shalom. I do what he wants. So he's happy, but the Rabbi Shalom's not happy because I trashed the halacha. So Chazal said, "Ein mazminim akum." And Yontif, you don't invite a guy. Shabbos is different because Shabbos, he said, "Listen, we don't cook in our religion. We treat you the same way we treat everybody else. Just you treat it in the same standard as we treat our co-religionists. You're the same. So that's fine. And we don't get into trouble. But I can't do malacha for a non-Jew." The Gemara tells us in Ksuvus Dav Zayin. The Gemara says, you know, different people have different tastes in this world. And as the world says, an expression, Tam v'reach in litvakeach. You know, you can't argue about one person finds an aroma pleasing, one person is put off, one person likes the way a dish tastes, one doesn't like the way it tastes, one you need more pepper, one has not enough pepper, one has too little pepper, one has a gaita. One is too much, one's too little, and that's, it's too salty, it's not salty enough, one has a gaita. So Chazal asked the following question. If that's the case, so what, can I burn incense? I like incense. If it's not your thing, that's fine. Listen, I didn't ask you to enjoy it, but in my house, I can have what I enjoy. You like a nice scotch, so you have your scotch. For me, incense is what it's all about. So I want to come home from shul and I want to burn incense, and the aromas will fill the house, and that's me, that's my Ein Gan Eden. That's my thing. So can I do it on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says that I'm not allowed to do it. Why? Because the pasuk reads, let's go back to our pasuk again. Ach asher yochel lechol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lechem. What is lechol nefesh? What do you mean lechol nefesh? So the Gemara in Beis says in Dav Zayin, as to be dov rashov lechol nefesh, something which is pleasing to everyone. Now, how much exactly that everyone has to be, there are varied definitions. We mean everyone is hard to imagine that there's anyone in the world that everyone likes anything. For eating, everyone has to eat. So maybe that's one definition of everyone. For eating, you eat your thing, I eat my thing, well, we all have to eat. That's one definition. Some say if it's over the world, that's also fine. Ramesha writes in a tshuva that a practice which is done, it's not an eccentric practice, but there are many, many tens of millions of people in the world that do it. That's Shabbat Lechol Nefesh. Shabbat Lechol Nefesh only means to eliminate the eccentric, the idiosyncratic needs. But something which is reflective of a broad need that many have, even though they may be a minority of the world, that's also Shabbat Lechol Nefesh. Come back to that in a moment. So the Gemara says, incense is only some people. Not everyone's into incense. I don't need incense. I can do without incense. You like incense. That guy doesn't. So therefore, that's an idiosyncratic need. And if it doesn't meet the standard of Dov Rashov L'chol Nefesh. So therefore, we can't burn incense on Yom Tov. Now what happens when we come to the needs of someone that's ill on Yom Tov? We could argue in one regard, listen, everybody got sick sometimes, and everybody needs medicine sometimes, so is that making Dovra Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Or no, are the needs of a, there are those that would argue that way, or there's the fact that, listen, most of the world is Baruch Hashem healthy, most people most of the time, so they don't need the medicines. So medicines are needed by ill people, so ill people are not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So the halacha assumes halacha l'maisa, that it's based halacha is a siman tov kuf yud aleph, that the needs of a person who is ill are not considered dov rashov l'chol nefesh. I won't discuss this with Rabbi Yosef Shlita Yerushalayim. So he told me a certain psak, and I came back the next day. I was good with him, and whatever. If I wanted to ask him whatever, he liked me enough that he listened. So I came back and I said, the Rav Paskin for me yesterday, it's also. I brought him a Chubas Ksav Sefer. It said otherwise. So he says, listen, okay, let's make a Cheshbon. He says, the Ksav Sefer is built in Pshat and Taisvis, in Shabbos. The Pshat and Taisvis is a machlikas in how to learn Pshat and Taisvis. That's one Pshat. There's another Pshat and Taisvis. But at the most we have is even if we're granted is Pshat and Taisvis, so that's Taisvis Pshat. On the other side from Taisvis, we have the Ramban, and we have the Sefer Yerayim. So Mamela and Taisus is a Sochuk altogether, but he also, however we slice it, we have Roy Rishonim hold that Dovro Dere Tzorche Chayla were not considered Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. And Taisus at most is one, and maybe there's not even a Taisus that holds that one here. So Al-Korchuk La-Haloch, Al-Haloch is not considered Shabbat L'chol Nefesh. The Chayodim, someplace in the Nishmas of them also, brings a very interesting riot to this. Where else is there a Haloch that you need Shabbat L'chol Nefesh? There's halacha in the use of ma'isa sheni, that ma'isa sheni, the bailam is allowed to eat. It's mutal bailam in Yerushalayim, but you has restricted uses. And one of the things the Gemara in Sukkah says, it has to be shavu l'chol nefesh. So the Gemara says specifically, the Gemara learns that you're not allowed to use it for medicinal purposes. It's not considered shavu l'chol nefesh. And the halacha is ma'isa sheni. So the nishmas odin brings a raya from there that you see medicinal uses stand outside the definition of Dovra Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So the Kama V'Kama Halochas that come from this, very practical halochas. Could I add water to the hot water vaporizer on Yom Tov? That's where I started with all this. So the answer is no. The hot water vaporizer cooks water, makes steam. That's Bishul. And I'm doing Bishul not for the sake of L'chol Nefesh, and not for the sake of washing my face, which would have been mutter, but for a medicinal purpose. That's awesome. Another taitzah of this is that suppose a person is ill on Yom Tov and they need medicine. We're talking non-life-threatening illness. Right? A non-life-threatening illness. He needs some antibiotics, but his life is not in danger. So, and let's deal with a place where there's no Arab. So I have a non-Jewish pharmacy. I like to go to the pharmacy and get a bottle of medicine and come home and give him his medicine. It's not sure with the whole nefesh. Can't do haitzah for him on Yontif. What I could do, which is equally true on Shabbos, the Aloch and Simon Shinchov Cheses, that I may ask for the sake of a chaylish ein bo sakana, one that is, you know, bedridden ill, or ill enough that he ought to be in bed, even if he's not, that I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do any and all of even the Omelechus Shabbos for him. Any and all, for the sake of a chayla. So a meila on Yontif, obviously it's also the case, Yontif is not as chomer as Shabbos, Yontif is a lois asay, it's a save a lois asay, according to Rav Ashi concludes in the Gemara Psochem, but it's not chayv skilo. So if in Hilchus Shabbos it's mutter to have a non-Jew do malacha for me, certainly in Hilchus Yontif it's mutter. So I can go to the pharmacist and ask him to have his delivery boy deliver it for me on Yontif, that I could do. But I can't carry it down the block and bring it to my house. Yeah.
According to what Rav Moshe said, that something that's common would be sort of shovel from a lot of people have. So let's say something like a cold medicine.
I don't want to get into that, Shaila. I'll tell you where you're coming from. There's a very interesting Shaila that you're touching. Your Shaila goes like this. Since tons of people pop aspirins regularly, I let it take even a, is aspirin considered a medicine that's also on Shabbos or not? So I believe that Rav Yonason Steif, the Wiener Rebbe, was nifter approximately 1954, but Alibra of Yonasensteifer was considered b'shaito one of the foremost poskim. You know, after the decade after the war, was one of the foremost poskim in the city of New York, one of the recognized earlier poskim. I believe he's the one that held its mutter. He said people pop it all the time. That's not considered a medicine. It's like a food. So that's what you're raising, that type of question. Okay, it was debated, and I guess we could debate more than one tzad. Over here, perhaps. You know, I'm not coming to give a heter, but the svara is a svara which is on the map of the halacha, the svara that you're suggesting.
Is that also the svara that allows cigarettes to
stay on? Well, the Rav Moshe allowed, that's what I wanted to come back to. Rav Moshe allowed in a tshuva which is not in the Igros, it was published in a journal, in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote a tshuva which he wrote the following. That millions of people smoke. Many millions of people smoke. So such a practice has to be considered. It's not a question of it's shovel l'chol. It certainly meets the definition of shovel l'chol nefesh. On the other hand, he said, many millions of people, it's not only that they don't smoke, they're makbid not to smoke because it's deleterious to their health. So he says that casts considerable question if we consider something shovel l'chol nefesh if there's a very good argument made by tens of millions of people in the world that this is something which is negative to one's health and one shouldn't have it altogether. So he concludes the following. That he says, a bal nefesh, a person that wants to be nizer, he says, should undoubtedly be bezmanin or not smoke on yontif at all. But, he says, he will not say totally that it's osa, in terms of hilchas yontif, that it still meets the letter of the law of shovel l'chol nefesh, even though it's questionable, but those that want to can. Now, we should not fail to add two things to this. Rav Moshe Tzatzal was not in favor of smoking. I mean, he didn't hold it was halachic easier to smoke, but I had someone that wanted, you know, asked me in my youth, Rav Moshe was, as you know, was very accessible. You could just call him up on the phone whenever you wanted. He picked up the phone and he spoke to you in the years when he was healthy. So he wanted to know some friend of mine about smoking. And so Rav Moshe said, he says, what does he want to smoke for? He says, Baruch Hashem, I don't smoke and I'm healthy. I have healthy children that don't smoke. So what in the world does this guy want to smoke? He says, it's awesome. It's seichel. What do you want to smoke for? And as you know, I'm a chosid of Rav Vozhner Bnei Brak's psak on this. I'm almost a chosid of his psak. Is the most brilliant psak on the issue of smoking that I have seen in all the years of all the people that talked about it. He cut right through to the heart of the matter with such phenomenal pikchus wisdom. As we know, smoking, once one becomes habituated to it, is an addiction. Once you deal with an addiction, then it's hard to be on the moral bully pulpit and telling people what to do. You know, you want to tell me what's osur, what's right and wrong, you tell me what's right and wrong. But a person, addiction doesn't lend itself so simply to tell me it's wrong and therefore I can stop. An addiction is a problem. And as we know, we have all types of both psychological means that we assist people and chemical means, etc., to break addictions. To break addictions is a very difficult process. So he sidestepped all of that with one brilliant thought of Vojnar. He writes the following. A few years ago, he put out a psak that it's osur to begin smoking. Simple. So he's not going to address the fact, in other words, of the addiction problem of the people that are smoking already. That's a minefield, and you can't give a psak. You know, the person could rightfully say, someone goes, it's onus, he can't help himself. And we know addiction with all chachma, yesh chachma umus taimen. The world has plenty of reason to learn how to address addiction. Alcoholism and drugs, etc., all the varied addictions that exist. And smoking. And we don't have such an easy time of it. With the full arsenal of all the world's chokhmah, technology, science, psychology, etc., we do not have an easy time dealing with addiction. So we cannot use, addiction doesn't lend itself to saying mutter and osa so easily. That's simplistic. But it was brilliant to say that it's also to begin smoking. We can observe a deleterious effect on people's health. That it has the potential to kill people, and it kills many people a year. So if you're not addicted about it, then you can talk osur and mutter. It's osur to begin. It's a brilliant, brilliant statement of halacha. Now I want to end with one final halacha, and that's also at the very beginning of the Hilchos Yontif. It's Rabbi Kiveger at the beginning of Hilchos Yontif. One of the dinim in Hilchos Yontif, it's also a question where it comes from. The Stipler talks about in Hilchos Yaakov in one place. One halacha nuchos yantiv, it's only what's l'tzarech hayoyim, what's for today, and not what's for tomorrow. That's axiomatic in nuchos yantiv. Why that's the case, what the basis for it is, that's a matter for pulpulim, that's not for now, because it's not before Rosh Hashanah. Now, in the Gola, if we live in the diaspora, so we have an issue of 2 days yantiv. So obviously I can't, as we know the halacha is, I can't cook something on the first day yantiv for the second day yantiv. Now what happens though, we have a time that's called Bein HaShmoshes, the twilight hour. Now the problem with the twilight hour is it's in the twilight zone. You don't know, the halacha has no kvius of what it is. Is it Yom, is it Laila, is it a Sufik, is it every second is a Sufik, the whole thing is a Sufik, they're all different possibilities. But we don't know where we're holding. What day are we at? Yesterday, today, tomorrow? So the question is, let's say I put water, I want to cook water during Bein HaShmoshes. So the Maisa Melacha is when I put the kettle on the fire. When does it takes 5 minutes until it boils. Then I pour and I write. So now, let me ask you, when I started and when I finished, was that the same day? Or maybe the day changed in between. Maybe the first at the beginning was yesterday, and this part of Bein HaShmoshes is already tomorrow. So then I was already to the rice, I cooked from Yontif Rishon, the Yontif Sheni. So what do we do? So Rabbi Kiveger tells us at the very beginning of Hilchos Yontif that we are very limited in melacha and during Bein HaShmoshes. To cook something, Bein HaShmoshes is awesome. Why? Because maybe I'm cooking from today in the Tzarech Mocha, so I can't cook during Bein HaShmoshes. Rabbi Yoshua told me a very, very big chiddush, the kula. And that is anything he says where it shayach the principle of hoyl. For example, let's say I'm carrying a sefer. So I'm carrying a sefer in shul Bein HaShmoshes. It takes me 15 minutes to walk through Rosh Hashanah. But at any second I could stop and open the sefer and use it. So therefore, as long as I could use it immediately, that's considered as a heter for that second that I'm carrying. And midrash it's mutter, because even if I'm going to use it for tomorrow, but hoyl that I could use it today, so it's mutter. So he didn't make a difference. Oh, it takes me a millisecond, you know, a second to open the sefer up. You consider that that's of no regard. So therefore, he says, since I could open up the sefer at any time and use it, so I'm allowed to carry it even to shouldering Bein HaShmoshes. Because hoyel, the possibility that I could use it today removes the yeast of the rice. But something like cooking, which just takes it as a time lapse until it's ready, so one can't cook Bein HaShmoshes, is very important, particularly, you know, most people don't eat Bein HaShmoshes in the Shalom with Kiddush. It's before Kiddush, so you can't really eat. But the shalom cooking for little kids sometimes. In other words, little kids, you have little kids, and they're going to, your wife wants to give them, it's getting late on Yontif, and your wife wants to cook some food for them to give them food to eat. So you're not allowed to go, she wants to cook for a night meal. So good. So that's one of the reasons that we say that, well, you can't do malach until Tzeis HaKachom. Before Shkia was definitely yesterday. After Shkia, the Shaila is a Sofik deraisa. The Moloch on Yontub is also a Dominator, it's certainly a lot. So, in Elamai, you want to cook for your child, then it's the same problem. Maybe I'm cooking the Tzar from today till tomorrow. So, we can't cook for children either during the period of Ben Hashmoshes. So, these are just a few examples of the complications of Hilchas Yontub, from the simple notions that we have to the Halacha Lamaisa. What does the world say? The devil is in the details.